At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the Hardwood Handicappers Podcast.
They're a bunch of guys who ain't never played the game, and they never got the girls in high school, and they just want to get in the game.
With your host, Jonathan Von Tobel.
See, the thing is, you guys look at me, you see the backwards hat, the gray socks, the funky outfit, and you say, now this guy's a chump, am I right?
No, f***ing geek. A f***ing geek.
Only on the VSiN Podcast Network.
All right, very excited for the latest edition of Hardwood Handicappers. We're going to go out north and talk about a team that has quietly been playing really good basketball for like the last 14 games or so, and it ties into their health as well. So I think that's a pretty big deal. And to do that, Aman Adan is with us, Yahoo Sports Canada, also hosts Dishes and Dimes podcast too. You can check it out there. Follow her on Twitter, IMMAN_ADAN. Aman, thank you for the time. I appreciate it. So I kind of mentioned it to you when we were talking right before we came on. So I'm a closet Raptors supporter for multiple reasons. One, the year that they won the title, I won a little bit of money on their run to do so. So that's always good. But also they quietly, so I'm out from Las Vegas. You know, I'm in there now, but I'm from here. I'm a big Kim Birch guy, you know, former UNLV running Rebel. So I've watched him for a while now. So many ties to the Toronto Raptors. But I wanted to ask you this, because I think they're the most fascinating team in the NBA. The last 2 years for this team has been insane. The Orlando bubble, how long they were there, the Tampa Bay experience, coming back home for like 3 weeks. They couldn't have fans there. Just from the big picture standpoint, like, I don't even know how to ask. Like, how does this team keep it together? It's been nuts.
It has been so weird. And I don't even know that people fully understand how odd it was. Just going back to the game stoppage, March 11th, 2020, was it? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Canada had tougher laws than the States. And the Raptors have a lot of international players. Serge Ibaka, Marc Gasol was in Spain at the time, but Pascal Siakam. So these were guys that weren't allowed to go to America like most of the team, meaning they were just locked in their condos. They couldn't touch a basketball. They did not have a gym that they could go practice in. The Raptors facility was closed. So I don't think people recognize that, like, Pascal Siakam did not touch a basketball for 4 months from March to July. He just did not touch a basketball or a gym. Serge Ibaka had videos where he was showing himself working out inside of his condo because he could not go downstairs. I don't know that people truly recognize that. And then the following season, they didn't know that they would be in Tampa until a few weeks before the season. And a lot of the guys have kids who are enrolled in school. I don't know that this is known too, but the Raptors had to practice outside of a bank or inside of a banquet hall because they just didn't have a practice gym. So it's been a very strange few years. And then this year they're kind of back to normal, but then they also had a few month stretch, like you just mentioned, where they didn't have fans in the arena at all. So it's been an interesting few years.
So let's talk about this recent stretch then, and we can tie into some of the individual players that are playing and their performances up to this point. But you go back to really it starts, and this has been a consistently good team for a while, but the hot stretch that they're on, it goes back to about March 9th, I believe, is when they really started to take shape. I think I've got them down. They won 12 out of 13, something in that range. Let's see. I got this down right here. 13-3 over those 16 games. So I'll ask you this. How much of this is tied to just health and some continuity? Because still, OG Anunoby hasn't been around very frequently. Fred VanVleet was in and out of the lineup for a while. I think it's a sore knee. But what's been behind this turnaround over the last 16 games, you think?
I do think it's a little bit of health. Certainly, they have had some injuries, and they've looked really off when those two guys that you just mentioned have been gone. I would credit the one thing to Pascal Siakam's emergence. He has just been absolutely stellar. I want to know if I can, pull up in that 16-game stretch that you just mentioned. I'm going to pull up his numbers here, but he's been absolutely spectacular for them. Just yesterday, he had a game where he had a 37-point triple-double, 37 points, 11 boards, and 12 assists against the Philadelphia 76ers with Joel Embiid guarding him for a good chunk of that game as well. So he's just been absolutely stellar for the Raptors. And that's, I'm going to credit a lot of that to him. And also Scottie Barnes has been phenomenal for the team as well. But I think they're finally getting healthy. And the Raptors play this like really aggressive style of defense that just has taken them a long time to get acclimated to. For once, Siakam was hurt at the beginning of the season. You're working a rookie into this. Yep. And a lot of new guys into the system. And their defense just was not up to par for a good chunk of the year. It was so odd to talk about the Raptors as a good half-court offense, which is what they were, strange, but a terrible defense, which didn't make sense considering their personnel, but it's finally starting to work. And it was always just gonna be a matter of them getting reps in and making sense of it, but it's working now. And that's a huge reason for their turnaround.
So I pulled them up for you. Over those 16 games, Pascal Siakam, 26.5 points, 8.8 rebounds, 6.1 assists on 52.2% shooting from the floor and 37% from three.
There we go. I just had it loading right here too. Yeah. I mean, what more can you say about the guy? He's just been phenomenal.
Yep. He's been great. And you mentioned, yesterday's performance was absolutely fun. And he had a crazy good finish over Joel Embiid. It looked like a wild hook shot that he bounced high off the glass. And this is a guy who won most improved player of the year. So you think this kind of sticks, like this surge in play, maybe not to this extreme level where we're talking about 26, 8-7, but do you think that this level of play is going to be pretty steady as we hit the postseason for Pascal?
I think so. Like watching him, more than just the points that he's putting up, it's the way that he's getting it. He's being doubled. I think I saw a stat today where it's like 32% of his possessions, especially considering the injuries that the Raptors have had. He's getting doubled constantly in games, and his playmaking, you just mentioned it there with his assist percentage, has just gone up. It's so rare that you can just guard Siakam right now. You cannot sag off of him. If you play him close up, he can just blow right by you. He's got the spin move that I know people like to joke about, but it is effective. I've never seen him play this level of basketball, even in his most improved season, even in the championship run. He was just not playing the basketball that he is playing this season. It has been spectacular. For the year, he's at 23 points. He's averaging 23 points on 49.4% shooting. He's averaging 8.5 boards and 5.3 assists. And that's for the season as a whole. And that's with the first month of basketball where he looked really off working his way back from shoulder surgery. So he's actually been putting up those crazy numbers for the vast majority of the year since December 1st, if we're really looking at it. So I don't really see a drop off, especially because when we take a look at why he struggled so much last season, a good chunk of that was the 3-point shot that just was not there. And we're starting to see that rebound. I don't know how good of a 3-point shooter he'll consistently be for his career, but we're really seeing that improvement. And that's opened up so much of his game. His defense has been stellar. And the number one thing would be his playmaking. That's just made him deadly.
Yep. So one of the key players is going to be OG Anunoby. Should we be worried about the health? It's been pretty inconsistent with his availability, banged up yet again here down the stretch. Is there a worry that maybe that's going to keep him out for some games in the postseason?
It's really odd. It was a finger injury that just all of a sudden happened. We didn't really know too much about it. I would say that's kind of been the worrying thing about OG is just he always seems to have some of these nicks and bruises, and he plays so aggressive that it makes sense that he continues to get them. more than OG's health, I'm worried about Fred VanVleet. He just has not looked the same since February. That knee is very clearly bothering him, even though he's played more games than OG Anunoby. It's just, if Fred doesn't have a healthy knee, don't know how far this team can truly go without him. But yeah, OG is still worrying because he always seems to be in and out, and we just hope that he gets healthy soon.
Did Fred coordinate with Drake last night with the outfit? What was that going? What was going on?
I don't know. But yeah, I noticed that too. I was like, oh, they look like twins. Yep.
So let's zoom out a little bit with this team too, because there's a couple of things I want to discuss, and you hit one of them in passing, which is the consistent under Nick Nurse over the last couple of seasons has been a team that's electric in transition, offensively and defensively, near the top of the league in both of those categories as years go on, solid in terms of offensive rebounding. The half-court offense, though, the half-court offense can get pretty stagnant at times. And look, actually, well, just pretty frank, it looks pretty bad at times. I think right now, according to Cleaning the Glass, this season, they're 26th in half-court offensive efficiency. For those listening, 91.4 points per 100 plays. So, I mean, that's pretty worrisome. What's the fix there, if anything? Because in some of these games where the opponent, because there's going to be games where the opponent's hitting shots and you can't just grab rebounds and run, that seems to be a pretty big bar to climb there if that's going to hold them back.
I mean, yeah. that exactly. And that's always kind of been this team's problem. It's been for a long time. If the Raptors are not getting stops and if the Raptors are not getting out in transition, it's really going to be hard to see them match up against any of these teams in the playoffs. Their half-court offense is really just not going to be there. They don't have enough floor spacing. If you have Fred and OG out, that's two of your three-point shooters. it's just so hard to have no spacing on the team. And they don't really have, like, Pascal Siakam is their sole creator in the half court that you can truly trust. Fred VanVleet, I guess, has it, but he's also always the smallest guy on the court. Gary Trent is a little hit or miss sometimes. So that's going to be the biggest thing. That's going to be their biggest difficulty and something that they're probably going to have to work on in the off season to come forward next year.
Yeah, I would think too, because they're really good. Their offensive rebound rate in half court's like second best in the NBA.
That's the only reason why the early season numbers look good in the half court offense. They were not a good half court offense. They just grabbed every board.
So I would think like if we're talking about matchups as we get into the postseason, as they have clinched their spot, you know, smaller teams up front like a Boston or maybe even Chicago, I think they would like to see them. Because I'll ask you about Philly. I know you got to see them yesterday, but I think some of those smallish teams where they can probably work their offensive rebounding, I don't think they would be a lot of people like Boston, but I don't think they'd be quite dead in a series against like the Celtics.
I don't, you know, the Celtics scare me, not so much because of the offensive rebounding. I wonder what the Raptors rate is there, because they are a poor offensive rebounding team, or defensive rebounding team, I should say. The reason why the Celtics particularly scare me, if we're talking about playoff matchups, is they're probably the only team that I can think of, one of the only teams, Miami might have this advantage as well, that can guard the Raptors without having to double team. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Raptors really rely on, is sending the trap towards Fred or to Pascal and watching one of them make the reads, and you're going to have either OG, Gary, or Scotty burn you. And the Celtics don't have to worry about that. The Celtics can just play them straight up and not have to send the double anywhere, and the Raptors really can't make them pay. So it's that Celtics defense that really terrifies me in a matchup with the Raptors. I think that they're probably the team that's best equipped to play the Raptors with how well they just switch everything.
Yeah. By the way, you met one of also my favorite players. Like I said, I like this Raptors team a lot. Gary Trent Jr. is so grown on me, like, over the last couple of seasons.
Fun.
He's awesome, right?
Yeah. He's so much fun to watch. Electric when he's on.
Yep. All right. So now we talk about a couple of these things. I'll ask you. So one of the things that I'm looking forward to from a betting perspective, especially after they won the other day, it does seem very likely that that 4-5 matchup is going to be Philadelphia and Toronto. And the home court gets a little bit stronger because of the vaccine mandate and the fact that it looks like Matisse Thybulle is not going to be able to play. And correct me on this. It's 2 weeks out is the mandate, right? Like from your second shot that you have to be, that you have to have a vaccine.
Yeah, that is correct. Yeah. No boosters necessary.
Right. So, yeah, and that's actually, I'm glad you said that, because that's been a big misconception on Twitter. A lot of people thought, oh, maybe he's not boosted. No, it's just, if it's Johnson's the one deuce one, you just got to get one of those. But if it's a two-shot one, you just got to get both. So it looks like Matisse Thybulle's not going to be out there. So I think Philadelphia is or Toronto is a terrible matchup for Philly. I think that they match up extremely well with them. Philly doesn't like to run. Toronto does. they can guard them. They can throw a double at Embiid and still be perfectly fine. Harden has not been playing well. So, you know, we're doing this audio. You're not in agreement. So it sounds like you agree, right? Like, I think Toronto would be a very good play there in that first round against them.
I completely agree, and I might be drinking some more of the Kool-Aid just after watching that game yesterday. But you mentioned it there. The Sixers don't like to run, and the Raptors get out in transition. I think I looked it up yesterday. The Sixers are the third worst transition defense behind only the Lakers and the Rockets, which is saying a whole heck of a lot. So that's one thing. The Raptors do like to get out there. And also, in terms of rebounding, I know we're looking at Joel Embiid as a big guy, but what I saw last night was, for one, he's not one of the, you know, premier centers at rebounding. That's not something that we're pointing to Joel Embiid for. But beyond that, he had to guard Siakam quite a bit because of how Siakam was going off. And Siakam drew him out further than Joel Embiid wanted to be. And that allowed the Raptors to feast on boards. It just so happened Pascal Siakam was hot and they didn't need to get a lot of those offensive boards, but they had them there in case they wanted it. And that's something that's going to be very scary for the Sixers, because I mean, if the Raptors are just getting that many more possessions than you, that's going to be a problem. Also, Gary Trent, we talked about him a little bit. He had 30 points. And, you know, a lot of focus has been on Pascal Siakam because of the night that he had. But Gary very, not quietly, had 30 points. And that's 100% because Matisse Thybulle wasn't there. It's the best game that Gary's had against the Sixers this season. And that's because Matisse Thybulle wasn't out there giving him fits. So that's going to be a huge issue for the Sixers there. And then Precious Achiuwa, I mean, I don't know what else to say. I just wanted to bring him up because what a game. But so for the Raptors, I think the Sixers are a particularly bad matchup. They don't like to get out in transition. That's what the Raptors do. They're a very quick team. They gave up a lot of offensive boards there. And also, Joel Embiid's numbers versus the Raptors, I think I saw it in the last three seasons, Joel Embiid has averaged 19 points against the Raptors. It's not just a one-year thing. I know a lot of people point to, oh, you know, the championship season, they beat them there, but it's not just that. It's that he averages 19 points in the last 3 years. He had a game where he had 0 points against the Raptors in that bubble season. And granted, Marc Gasol was there, but even in the following years after, his true shooting and his usage rate just absolutely plummets. What the Raptors want to do is deny him the ball. They want to drop that usage rate, and they are pretty successful doing it, especially if you have a guy like Matisse there that they can just completely ignore on the offensive end. Yeah. That's kind of been part of it. So having Matisse not available really did help the Sixers offense, I thought, in yesterday's game. I mean, they were absolutely lights out from deep. They hit five of their five first three-pointers and were up 17-2 in the first quarter there. And that's because, you know, you can't really help off of Danny Green, as we saw. So that's going to be something that I think helps their offense. But defensively, if they don't have someone to stop a guy like Gary Trent, it's going to be very, very difficult for them. So I just don't see where the Sixers very much benefit if the Raptors have had that much success guarding Joel Embiid. And then when Joel Embiid sits, Paul Reed, poor guy, was a minus 13, and I thought he had a great game, but he was a minus 13 in his 11 minutes that he played yesterday. So, like, there's just, if they can't really do anything when Joel Embiid sits, but also the Raptors have had the best recipe at guarding Joel Embiid, I just don't see how the Sixers can look at the Raptors as a particularly good matchup for them.
No, and I think the point about Siakam bringing out Embiid is it's brilliant, because you're absolutely right. Watching that yesterday, it's exactly what he did to him. And the fact that, you know, the point about the rebounding is really smart too, because, you know, when Embiid's a forward-facing big, right? He's going to lead the league in scoring. With LeBron James not playing these last two games, he's not in that space to grab those rebounds. So it helps a team that crashes the glass, like the Toronto Raptors, in that regard, when you're talking about, you know, grabbing rebounds and being able to get out and run and get out of transition and make them uncomfortable. So it looks like we're in agreement there. And it's funny. So, you know, it was a fantastic breakdown. We are, what, about 15 minutes into this now. We have not mentioned James Harden, right, in terms of this matchup.
Oh, my God.
What'd you see? He has not been good. This is now 6 out of 7 games in which he shot 40% or worse from the floor. He looks really passive. I mean, yesterday there were multiple times where he would draw a bigger guy on him. Old Harden would try to blow by him. Yesterday he was resorting to just step back threes, and it's what he's been doing this whole time. That's the other big facet about this, right, Amon? It's just like Harden's a shell of himself.
Yeah, He really is. It's honestly, like, I'm going to be honest. When the trade happened, I was all in on the Sixers. And I'm realizing now they played the Knicks. I should have waited for them to play a team that wasn't New York before, you know, I got my hopes up for the Sixers team. But he just lost the step. He really can't get by guys. And yeah, Precious Achiuwa, you know, is that bigger guy that we're talking about on him. And he's one of the quicker bigs in the league. But it's still a center on James Harden and his inability to really have that burst and that first step to really hurt a guy like Precious who's guarding him. It's night and day. Like, I don't know this James Harden. He did not look like a superstar. He was honestly an afterthought. And Tobias Harris constantly seems to be one when playing the Raptors. I almost never recognize that, like, he's on the court. He just doesn't have the impact in that way against his team. And so if James Harden is a shell of himself, and yes, you know, he had 15 assists, he was out there dishing, but that's not the way that James Harden beats the Raptors. That's not the way that James Harden beats a team. And if that's the James Harden that the Sixers are going to get, it's not so much about the matchup against the Raptors. There are very few teams that I would sort of pick them over.
Yep. I was asked the other day, I was on my buddy's podcast who works for us out in New York, and he was talking about some potential playoff series. And he's like, it sounds like there's not many that you would pick Philly in right now. And I said, no, like, not really. If this is the version Harden's going to get, I mean, hell, I think Tyrese Maxey might be their second best player right now.
I mean, it's looking like it.
Yep, absolutely. All right. So before we get you out of here, the awards races have been absolutely fascinating. MVP, Defensive Player of the Year. But Rookie of the Year, of course, is where we're going to go here. You guys got Scottie Barnes, and the floor is yours to make the case here, because from an odds perspective, over the last couple of weeks, he's been closing the gap on Evan Mobley, and Mobley's been missing time as well. And Barnes is the hot ticket item right now in terms of potentially winning this thing and stealing it out from under the feet of one Evan Mobley. So Scottie Barnes is Rookie of the Year. Why?
I think Scottie said it himself. He's top five in every single category. I think it's top three now with the recent games played. I mean, he's also contributing to a winning team in a way that I don't know that I've really ever, like, the Raptors throw him out there at point guard one night and throw him out there at center another night, and it's no big deal. And I mean, he's not doing this against terrible teams. He was the Raptors point guard, starting point guard yesterday against the Sixers. And he was running a few sets of, like, he was the initiator. He's also played center. And one of my favorite Scottie games was him going up against a guy like Jakob Poeltl, who I think is one of the better centers in this league, and really holding his own there. He's also just, one of the moments in yesterday's fourth quarter that I just thought was so brilliant was the start of it, where it was, I think he had a catch and shoot three above the break. He followed that up with a pull up from the elbow. I think it might've even been a fadeaway, and he was pulling up. It was him off the dribble, completely creating his own shot there. And then he finished that off with a pick and roll. He was just rolling to the rim and hit it off the glass, and it went in, and he scored six of the Raptors' first three baskets in the fourth quarter. And that was Scottie. That was all initiated or orchestrated by Scottie Barnes. And that's something that's so rare. Like, Cade Cunningham is doing this, but he started off late, and he's doing this on a losing team. This is Scottie Barnes doing it in the fourth quarter in a must-win game, because the Raptors really wanted to win it to hopefully see the Sixers in the playoffs. And yes, the numbers are very similar to Evan Mobley's, but what I would sort of give Scottie the edge for is his ability to create his own offense. His ability to have the ball and do it himself is just not something that Evan Mobley can do. And yes, we're comparing a big to a wing, and I understand that there are differences there that aren't completely fair, but we're also watching Scottie do his own as a center. He's just so incredibly versatile. He's doing it on a better team, a better record. And if Cade started off slow, and that's what we're dinging him for, I mean, Evan Mobley, sure, he's hurt, but he hasn't played the entire year. The team has looked bad since Jared Allen has gone out, even with Evan Mobley healthy and playing on the Cavs. And we just haven't seen that from Scottie this season.
Yep. I've got tickets on both of them, but they're both at plus prices. So whoever wins, I am happy with. But I will say that the bigger one's on Scottie, so I'm hoping that he actually pulls it off. Aman, I really appreciate the time today. Thank you so much for coming. Let everybody know, too, all the work and where they can find it and everything.
Yeah, thank you so much. So I co-host a podcast with a group of women. It's great. It's called Dishes and Dimes. So please check that out. It's an all women's podcast. I'm also a host on a Yahoo Sports Canada podcast called Friday Views that comes out every Friday. So check it out today. And you can find my written work at basketballnews.com.
Thank you so much again. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me.